Up until the Beatles and the Beach Boys turned the focus of rock and roll to the guitar, the solo instrumental spot in a record was almost always taken by a tenor saxophone. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward says there were a slew of unsung heroes who played those thousands of solos. Some are still unknown today, but he has a tribute to some of the identifiable standouts.
Raphael Ravenscroft, now there's a name that's been forgotten, except perhaps by his mother. But his sax introduction to Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street is probably what sold the record. It's probably the part you remember best. Still, listening to some recent records the other night, I found myself lamenting the current state of rock and roll saxophone. They don't play it like they used to.
Well, I saw Uncle John with bald head Sally. He saw Aunt Mary coming and he ducked back in the alley, oh baby.
Just as Earl Palmer, the drummer on Little Richard's classic recordings, invented rock and roll drumming, the great Lee Allen virtually invented the rock and roll saxophone break. In rhythm and blues, which derived from urban blues, the vocalist was the center of attention, with guitar and saxophone solos being mostly textural changes to break up the monotony of the minimal accompaniment. And with the exception of Chuck Berry, early rock and roll was mostly not guitar-centered, so it was the saxophone that got the solo slot.
I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm talking. For you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
Allen had been born in Kansas but moved to New Orleans to go to school and began working with Paul Gayton and Dave Bartholomew, the city's two top band leaders, in the late 40s. Because nearly every R&B and rock and roll record cut in New Orleans had members of one or the other of those bands on it, Allen practically lived in the studio, and his sound was so distinctive that it wound up setting the standards for rock and roll saxophone. His main competition throughout the 50s was a Texas kid named Curtis Owsley, whom you probably know better as King Curtis.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the dog and put out the cat. Yak-a-yak.
Don't hold back.
The Coasters' Yakety Yak was the record that made King Curtis. In fact, it's hard to imagine the Coasters without him. But he was already a seasoned pro by 1958 when it came out. He'd left Fort Worth with the Lionel Hampton Band and stayed in New York, where he became an important session musician, recording with Nat Cole, Big Joe Turner, Laverne Baker, and many other early R&B stars. Curtis also saw wider horizons. In 1960, he cut a couple of jazz albums with some of Miles Davis's musicians and held his own among them. But for bread and butter, he continued to record as a sideman for Atlantic Records, and you can hear him on sessions he worked on right up to the day a deranged neighbor stabbed him to death on his front stoop in New York. Lee Allen and King Curtis at least got respect, but the vast majority of rock and roll saxophonists labored anonymously, a fact that was brought home to me when I read of Steve Douglas's death earlier this year. I had the good fortune to see him play, with Lee Allen, in fact, a couple of years ago. He picked up the saxophone, put it in his mouth, and pinned the audience against the far wall. Nothing subtle here. Although he's not in any of my reference books, I do know that Douglas's real name was Stephen Kreisman, and that, in addition to convincing Duane Eddy to record Peter Gunn, he played on recordings by the Beach Boys. He was a regular at LA's famous Gold Star Studios, so he's in the Wall of Sound on many of Phil Spector's classics, and probably legions of forgettable records as well. There are too many of these forgotten men to mention here, but let me pay my respects to Herb Hardesty, whom we heard on that Fats Domino track as second sax, to Plaz Johnson, who played every L.A. session Steve Douglas didn't, to Hank Cosby and Kasuku Mafie at Motown, and to the guy who woke up just long enough to play the break on Angel Baby by Rosie and the Originals.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll.